Hello, I'm the barrister Stephen Barrett, and a lot of people right now are very upset at predominantly ministers, particularly the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who's, as I make this video, still in office and who has lied to the public, and the Prime Minister, who signed off on that lie, but at a range of other ministers, MPs, officials, people in the NHS. Regulators who feel completely unaccountable, and even now our police officers. And what I thought it would be helpful to do is, rather than focus on any one of the specific, I could say a nasty word about them, people, I think I will do a series of introductory videos to the offences we have, because we in this country do not suffer from a lack of laws. Okay, we have loads of them. So I will be going through those laws and explaining them to you, and then you will see how we might apply them to individual cases that may or may not arise. I'm not saying that it's very likely that under this government there will be prosecutions, but I think we need to look forward to a brighter future and a day when we quite possibly do prosecute people for offences. And when that day comes, I want to have informed you about what those offences are. And I thought I'd start the ball rolling with misconduct in public office. It's a very old offence. It's called a common law offence, which means it arose before we started to really use Parliament to make laws. Back in the day, Parliament just raised taxes and levies. That's all it was for. And in fact, every year, Parliament has to reconfirm income tax, because that was only supposed to be a temporary measure to fight the Napoleonic Wars. Anyway, it's a common law offence, and it's tried on indictment. That means it's the most serious type of offence. That means it goes up to the Crown Court, and it has a jury, well, for now, has a jury trial. It carries a maximum sentence of life imprisonment. So that, and it comes from the days when life meant life. So it's a very serious thing. It's about those who willfully abuse or neglect the power and responsibilities of the public office they hold. So there's a very strong link between the offence and the office. And let's go, it has, I'll set out below this video a link to the CPS guidance on this so that you can all read this. You know, if I get hit by a bus, this will be a permanent record that people can turn their mind to in any future, hopefully happier Britain. Right. The elements of the offence were summarised in a case called the Attorney General's Reference Number 3 of 2003, which, in the way that law is obviously published in 2004, because that's how we roll. And it's, the offence is committed when a public officer acting as a public officer willfully neglects to perform their duty, so willfully refuses to do their job, such as, I don't know, ban a protest, or willfully misconducts themselves, okay? So willfully does something bad, to such a degree as to amount to an abuse of the public's trust in the office holder. That might become a relatively low bar. And that the person does this without reasonable excuse or justification. So the definition of a public officer is quite broad. The Court of Appeal has had to think about this, and they said that the correct approach to what is and what is not a public officer, some of it's quite obvious, some of them it's just not a problem to get these people, but let's go through the legal test. In the case called Mitchell, the Court of Appeal set out that there are a series of three questions that you should ask yourself to work out if somebody is a public officer or not. What was the position held? That's pretty simple. Next, what is the nature of the duties undertaken by the employee or officer in that position? And third, does the fulfilment of those duties represent the fulfilment of one of the responsibilities of government, such that the public have a significant interest in the discharge of the duty? Applying these questions to a paramedic, the court held that a paramedic is not a public officer, but police officers clearly can be. Remuneration is a serious factor, but is not determinative. And then there are a series of examples of who has been held to be a public officer. Holders of judicial and quasi-judicial office, That's judges, magistrates, registrars, coroners, those people who keep using silly human rights laws to let migrants stay in your country. Police constables, including when while suspended from duty, that's quite good. Community support officers, other police civilian employees, immigration officers, that's a big one I think might come in handy, elected officials, MPs, councillors, ministers and mayors, civil servants, including local authority officers and DVLA employees, prison staff, army officers, I don't think that's going to be much of a problem, but there we are. Bishops of the Church of England, I mean, they're just all woke lefties. Volunteer members of the Independent Monitoring Board. So that will include, and I think we should use that or consider it in relation to regulators, because regulators are performing a function of government. They shouldn't be. I don't think there should be any regulators performing the functions of government. That's what ministers are for, and then ministers are accountable to the people. But in our corporate socialist state, which is undermining our democracy, we have regulators. Now, the next legal test is acting as such. Acting as such needs to be distinguished from circumstances in which the suspect was merely acting while. Okay? So that's a big difference. The Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, goes to the shops and does something silly, she is the Chancellor, but she's just shopping. You know, she's not acting as the Chancellor. It's not the Chancellor shopping, that's Rachel Reeves shopping. So they have to be acting while they were a public officer. And the guidance goes on to say there must be a close nexus between the willful neglect, breach of duty, or willful misconduct and the power, authority, responsibility vested in the office. So what you did has to link up to the fact that you are holding that office. That's fine. I think that's going to be relatively easy to establish in certain cases. The courts have said that acting as such plainly means acting in the discharge of the duties of the office. Misconduct in a public office bites on breaches of duties which constitute the office offence itself. The offence will only be made out if the manner in which the specific powers or duties of the office are discharged brings the misconduct within its ambit. So that's the difference between as the officer and not whilst. You can't be as weak as vague and vague notion of influence. So we're not going to be able to get everybody. But the CPS says that prosecutors should consider three questions. Is the conduct breach of a duty or misconduct? It can be both. But prosecutors should identify this precisely as possible. So is it a breach of duty or is it misconduct? Okay. What is the connection between willful neglect, breach of duty and or misconduct and the public officer's role? So how does what was done link into the role? Has the power vested in the public officer been abused? Can it be said that the public officer was acting as such rather than acting whilst? So that's what we're going to need to establish if we're going to bring prosecutions for misconduct in public office. I think all of this is relatively achievable. One of the mistakes we've been living under, it seems to me, for a number of years, is that certain people are above the law. They are not. One of the ways that we've maintained that mistake is that a lot of my fellow lawyers have adopted the position of not applying the law freely and fairly to everybody, but assuming that certain people are above the law, or that arguing certain people can be prosecuted is somehow dramatic or unseemly. Applying the law is neither dramatic nor unseemly. It is what we are all supposed to do in a decent human society. And I want one day to get back to being a decent human society. The next text is willful neglect, breach of duty or misconduct. Okay, willful means deliberately doing something which is wrong, knowing it to be wrong, or with reckless indifference as to whether it is wrong or not. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good, nice little expansion there. So it's not just, we don't just have to prove that they knew it was wrong. They can be reckless or indifferent as to whether it was wrong or not. And I think a lot of the times when we're going to be using this offence, we're going to be relying on that. Recklessness in the context means subjective recklessness, i.e. the suspect was aware of the risk, and in the circumstances known to them at the time, it was unreasonable to take the risk. Again, that's a nice, big, broad definition I think we're going to be able to use to the benefit of the nation. Remember, when we prosecute crimes, it's become very popular recently to talk about victims of crime and to say that we're prosecuting crimes for victims. This is not true. We never had a concept of a victim in crime until the Fabian Marxists took control of our country. We prosecute because it is to the benefit of the whole of the public good. And that's why all prosecutions are brought in the name of the king or the queen. And they are doing it not to benefit the victim. The victim is seldom the name of the victim doesn't form an important part of the title of the case. It's the king punishing the bad person, because punishing bad people improves the quality of his or her realm. And that means it improves the quality of our country. This is why we prosecute people. Again, so we'll just need to, I think we need to rediscover that. And again, the Fabian Marxists use emotional manipulation against us to get us to, don't you feel any sympathy for the victim? Like, yes, but stop emotionally manipulating me. I accept that we prosecute crimes in this country because it improves the quality of life for all of us. This is not about revenge for a victim. You see what I did there? You can actually frame all this, don't you have sympathy for the victim? Aren't you just obsessed with revenge? We're not about revenge, we're about justice. The guidance then goes on to say it takes a wide range of forms. That benefits us. But let's go through some examples then. Some of the positive acts include a local authority manager improperly arranging for contractors to carry out work at his partner's home. Has anybody arranged improperly for government employees to carry out work that they shouldn't have carried out? I wonder. A police officer accessing information from the police national computer to pass on to a criminal. Right. Has anybody shared information with criminals or potential criminals or protesters? A prison officer passing information to journalists for payment. Has anybody passed any information to journalists recently that they shouldn't have passed on? A probation officer harbouring a wanted criminal after developing a sexual relationship with him whilst supervising him. We're just going to pause at this point to say that the point I make all the time is that I'm not a criminal lawyer, because humans are just disgusting. And you, as a criminal lawyer, you have to face this. I get to live in a world where I didn't know that somebody would be so morally reprobate that they would develop a sexual relationship with a criminal and then harbour... the other thing I would say is that those lawyers who will seek to persuade you that we cannot do this, when we quite clearly and very clearly can, will use all sorts of emotionally manipulative techniques on you. One of them is that they'll say that this is very old, it's very old-fashioned, it's fuddy-duddy. So let's just note that prison officer one, yeah, that was 2016. Okay, that probation officer one, which is just disgusting, is 2015. These are not, it's not some, oh, it's just a historic offence, you can't prosecute it, it's too old. Laws, by the way, never go off. They don't have a sell-by date. And again, only when we got the Fabian Marxists coming in at the late 90s did you start to even get this argument that a law doesn't matter if it's old. I mean, that's just pathetic. We often and regularly use very, very old laws. We don't, or we didn't when I read criminal law, just in case they've invented one since. We didn't have a statute banning murder. Because again, we realised pretty early on that murder was the wrong thing before we actually had statutes or used statutes in that way. And so we just had a law against murder. The law against murder has not gone off or become something that we don't prosecute just because it's a little bit old. You know, this idea is absurd, so don't let them manipulate you when the time comes. Dishonesty. Dishonesty must be proved as the mens rea, that means the mental element of the crime. And that's just what we will have to prove. Seriousness of the neglect or misconduct. Not every willful neglect or misconduct will suffice to constitute the offence. There is a high bar of seriousness. Okay, it must amount to an affront to the standing of the public office held. And that really goes back to its roots. It's basically an offence of, you're wearing the fancy robe and the chain around your neck and you are abusing that. And that's really what it is at its heart. Again, I don't think, although the CPS is putting this, you know, this is the high threshold, it's still going to be achievable because a lot of the wrongs in our society are going to meet this test. If it's met, the prosecutor must consider whether the conduct injured the public interest or abused public trust to such a degree as to warrant criminal punishment. Okay. Whether the public interest has been harmed by the conduct is an objective question. If the answer is no, then the offence will not be made out. I still think the answer is going to be yes. Mere negligence or even a serious mistake will not suffice. So, you know, that's okay. We don't want to hound public officials. That's not what we're doing. We're not going after people who made genuine mistakes. We're going after people who abused their position of power and their relevance in our society. Have to consider relevant and seriousness. Again, just limit yourself. If you're calling for these things in public or lobbying your MPs, oh, look, a case from 2022. It's not that old, is it? When you're lobbying people, just know that seriousness is important. So don't pick up on petty, tiny things, mistakes, and little things that people have done. It has to be egregious. And then the person accused of this gets the defence of reasonable excuse or justification. Well, that's for them to make out, to be perfectly honest. There are specific categories of cases involving abuse of position for a sexual purpose. I don't think that's going to be something we necessarily get to, or I hope it isn't, or maybe I'm just being naive, but I seriously hope it isn't. There's a public interest test, which the CPS always have to apply. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is the main elements of the offence of misconduct in public office. Now, oddly, it's not misconduct in a public office. And I don't know if that's for some historic reason. I'd probably ask my dad. But if you want to be down with the kids, it's big M, little I, big P, big O. I hate using acronyms. We should really stop it. It just keeps the public away from truth. Right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I will do another of these videos on another individual offence. Take care.